Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, Melissa Olthoff. How are you doing today, Melissa?
Hey, I am doing great. It's Saturday, which is wonderful, and I'm not nearly caffeinated enough, but I'm working on it.
I didn't have enough time to make my second cup for yesterday. My son has been 2-year-old molars are coming in, so
Ooh.
it's been a week. And definitely, like, we were up at like 5 this morning, and so I took him early and tried going to a local book sale, but it was like raining, and there was like already like across like the block and stuff, like the line was out the door. So I got one coffee, thank you Starbucks, and then I'm gonna go make another cup after we get done because I already can tell I'm gonna need it today. But thank you so much for coming on today. I've seen your books all over the place. Thank you, Casey, and everybody else. So I was so happy to, to be able to get you on today. Hopefully at some point we can get all you feral ladies together and do a thing.
Yes, it was so much more fun together.
My schedule has just been absolutely nuts, and I'm just like, if it's so many people I want to get together, I'm like, oh. And then I just got a new summer schedule that was not the one I was supposed to have, so
Oh,
I have to
no.
try and work things out again. So I'm glad I haven't scheduled anything yet for this summer, but that's actually definitely on my list, so I hope that we could
Yes.
do that. But I'm excited to have just you on your own face, so we can kind of get to know you, your writing style, your journey, things like that, and that'll lead us up to the Feral Ladies podcast, I like to call it.
Excellent.
Fun. But thank you again so much for coming on today. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Insane. I can sum it up in one word. Insane. Like there are so many days where I go, how is this real? How is this my life? Like this is so crazy. I don't like doing time math, but we're gonna do a little bit of it. So I think it was maybe 5 years ago, my oldest friend, not age-wise, but lengthwise, he messaged me out of the blue. I was in this man's wedding. I had not heard from him in years. And he's like, "Hey, Melissa, I've got this short story I'm submitting. Can you read it for me?" I'm like, "Heck yeah, I can read it. Zombie apocalypse stuff. Sweet."
Oh, yeah.
And then it just went from there. He's like, "Hey, so there's this like NaNoWriMo thing where you write 50,000 words in a month. You should try it." I'm like, "Cool." So I did. And then he's like, "Here's a open submission at Chris Kennedy Publishing. You should submit." And I did, and I got my first pro credit with CKP, and it just spiraled from there, and it has been amazing. But I will say that I bring up Casey Moore as my oldest friend as a point. The power of friendship in this industry is so important. It's not a matter of like just one thing. It's a matter of like making friends, and rule number one, don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Just hone your craft, get out there, do your thing, make friends, because holy crap, there's so many fun things to geek out about with people, and it's amazing having those friends to geek out with. So yeah, insane. This whole writing journey has just been so crazy, and I'm so grateful for it.
Well, I totally agree with you. I like I said, like Herman and I talk quite a bit, usually every couple weeks or so. It was so funny. Like, I actually just said, I won't say their name because I don't know if they want this story told, but I was talking to another friend of mine, and they're like, man, this is just like we just talked about like getting blocked, right? And I was like, I'm not really blocked. Like, I know what I'm writing, but I'm like, don't know how, if that makes sense. I'm getting to like, on the next level. So I'm like trying to finish my draft, and him and I talked, and I don't know what it was about that conversation, just a quick Facebook. But I like, yeah, I was like able to be like, okay, this is what I need to do. And it wasn't even about my book, or his or whatever. It was just about feeling not alone. So
Yes,
yeah,
that
like this
is.
is the week that I felt really good, because people were just chatting and stuff. So I totally agree with you there. It's a hard thing to do, right? Is to write, particularly on your own. But then when you really realize it, we're not really alone, even if you're
No.
world or characters. So I agree with you.
My friends and I, we do this all the time. We will talk through like, "Hey, I'm stuck. I need to talk through this." And sometimes it's like they'll throw out ideas, and I'm like, "That's great." But then it triggers something in my own brain. I'm like, "Oh, I know what to do." And it's the coolest thing. My friend Casey, like, did you ever watch Ocean's 11, where you
Oh
got Brad Pitt's character and George Clooney's character at the bar going, "You think we need one more? You think we need one more? One more." That is literally me and Casey. I am freaking Brad Pitt, not saying a word. And Casey's just jumped up, and he's like, "Okay, cool. Thanks. Thanks, Brad. I've got it." I'm like, "You're welcome, George."
No.
It
Yeah.
doesn't have to
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I just when I totally agree. It's like I have well I just put out there, right? I was like, I just need alpha readers and and stuff. And I had Logan D. Irons respond to me. Him and I have talked quite a bit, and I had just previously interviewed him. We really hit it off. He's like, I would love to read it. He's like, I got time, it's a novella, no problem. And then H.L. Tinsley was like, yeah, I'm like interested. She really likes novellas. So I was like, okay, And then I was able to give it, give my fourth draft to them. And they gave me like almost the same exact feedback, which was really nice. And then I was able to get Sarah Torn to help me out in a bind editing after my first round did not go very well. So she helped me out quite a bit. I'm still like going over the notes, and it was like a master class in writing and editing. So I'm still learning there. But it was really cool though. Like I had three people help me out like right off the bat, and then J.R. Wise helped me. I'm like, he's a ex military man himself, so I'm like, I don't know these military terms. I got a ex-Marine, he's a ex-Marine, so I was like, you need help. So I would not be anywhere without like the four of them. I wouldn't be anywhere near close finishing my fifth draft. And yeah, so I totally agree with you. I tell people all the time, I'm like, I don't know how I've done anything without asking people for help. This podcast, I talked to like all the people, all the guys that did Wizards, Warriors, and Words, like Fletcher, Ashton, Rob J. Hayes, Jed Hearn, talked to a bunch of other people, Adrian M. Gibson, Herman, him and I were thinking of doing almost the same time. So, and a lot of other people too, like helped me out. So I would not be anywhere without them. So I totally agree with you. People, I think then the community is the most fun. I saw you guys at JordanCon. I was like, I just want my book out and I just want to go hang with my friends.
Yes, Jordan. It's
I
so
actually
great.
did you go to I was just curious, did you go to like what it was, the Boston Writers Conference?
Boston.
Yeah. Okay.
That
Cause
was
that's
the last second addition to my schedule. The incredible Ben Yalow, who is like the historian of this genre, he had an extra badge and he's like, if you want to go, Melissa, I'm like, hey Dan, it's my husband. I'm like, can I go? He
okay.
worked the schedule so I could go, and it was amazing.
Cool. Well, next year, I already told my wife, like her and I, it was a little hard with my son this year because he's just, a little too young. But
Little baby.
yeah, him and I are, he's finally able to start parting ways with me. So that's been very helpful to get some stuff done. But I told my wife, like, I was like, our friends are from Boston. So next year, I think it'll be easier because we could all just go and do like an Airbnb, or she's like, you can just go with the, your friends on the, on your own. I have like a the East. I was talking to Casey about this. I have like the East Coast Avengers. I'm like assembling, so all coasts, like R.R. Verdi, J.C.M. Yeah, C.L. Snyder, like everybody, James Lloyd Dulin, like we're all on the East Coast. So I'm like, let's do this thing. So I've been collecting people. So I'll add you to the list. So because I'm hoping this summer to be like, hey, what are people going to? Like especially like on this side, but that's the one that I'm definitely going to next year. So
Excellent.
yeah, so I'm like really excited about that. So I think that'll be really fun. But yeah, I definitely agree. People are the most fun thing. Like the books and everything are great, but it's always the people I think
100%. And
are fun.
sometimes it's not just about hanging out with your friends or talking through where you're stuck. Holy crap, our friends' resources as far as like life experience stuff. Like you mentioned your friend that was in the military knows the military stuff. I was in the Air Force, like I know a lot of it, but I don't know anything about flying a helicopter. My girl Casey does though. I don't know anything about like special ops stuff, but I know people that do. I know horses, so people come and talk with me about horseback riding stuff. It's like being able to tap into that without just having to rely on Google is super helpful. Talking with people who've been there, done that, right?
Oh yeah, I spent weeks, like honestly months probably trying to get certain stuff done, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to do this. I go, I'm just going to get this draft done and send it right to JR, and then I'm like, he's gonna correct, you know what I mean? I'm like, why research a lot of the stuff? I'm like, if it's wrong, I'm like, I can do some research, right?
Yes.
Kevin Hearn helped me out with some good sources for, I was like, I just need, these good mythological resources and stuff. He gave me one that was incredible. So for my novellas, like my first actual book for my urban fantasy character, like Like Kevin Hearn gave me all the resources. I finally figured out how to put it together, but it's like he gave me the, you know, the he was like, yeah, I just do this. You know, I asked him on Twitter a couple years ago, but
That's so cool.
yeah, right. I met him in person years ago. He was just the nicest guy. I met him the same day as like Brandon Sanderson, Patrick Rutherford, Brian McKellen, Pierce Brown. Pierce Brown was so Michael J. Sullivan. Pierce Brown. I always have to tell the story. I'm at the Poison Pen in Scottsdale, and Pierce Brown goes, I'm like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, oh, pretty good, you know? And he was really nice, but he's like, yeah, I don't know if anybody's gonna read it. And this is Red Rising, right? And so I had him sign it, and like it was so funny. I just talked to my best friend about this a while back. He read them all within like 6 days, and I thought it was so funny to me that like he was like, yeah, I don't know if everybody's gonna read it, and like shrugged his shoulders, and like to see where, you know, like some of the people are now. It's just like
Right.
absolutely incredible. Yeah, like Brian McCullough, he's like, yeah, I just came because Brandon, you know, decided to come, and he brought me along, and he had just had like book one for Powder Mage and stuff. He's like, yeah, I just figured I'd show up. And I mean, it was cool. It was like traditional indie.
So cool.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Kevin Hearn actually and his wife donated a $100 gift card to a local used bookstore to my kids for English I was teaching down there at the time. So I went and took it and bought them a bunch of books. So everybody was just like absolutely incredible. It was really, really fun. But yeah, like, yeah, it was, I don't know where I would be without anybody in the community at this point. So I highly recommend what you said and just get out there and make
Make
some friends.
friends.
It's more
Power of
fun.
friendship.
Well, what genre of genres do you currently write in and why?
Sci-fi and fantasy, because I am a huge old nerd and okay, so back when I was a kid, I discovered Animorphs, which was
Oh, yeah.
super great. I read all the Horse Girl stuff with Thoroughbred, Goosebumps, you know. And then my 7th grade teacher was like, Melissa, sweetheart, you cannot write a book report on Animorphs. I'm like, but why?
Why?
But why? She's like, no, we need to level up your game. So she's like, go to the library, go to the bookstore, get something that's from the adult section. Because I don't think there was, you know, back in the, we're not doing time math, but back in the day, I don't really think there was a really big like YA section yet.
Yeah, maybe like Anne McCaffrey, I guess you could kind of, but not really. Like,
I'm so glad you mentioned her because the very first book I picked up was Dragonflight by Anne McCaffrey.
oh,
Big old
awesome.
dragon, the original cover. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I also picked up The Black Griffin by Mercedes Lackey and Larry Dixon. So I had my first like foundational books right there, and I just dove into those genres with both sci-fi and fantasy, and I have never looked back. It's fun. I do love a good strong romantic subplot in what I read, and it's also what I write, but I don't like it to not have that action and adventure, that epic stakes. I love it so much. So that's what
I
I write.
agree. I actually just read Dragonflight again, reread it probably about 4 years ago. Like I think it was like right before the pandemic, literally, or it was like right after, and it had been so long. And then I was like looking at, you know, the other ones and what the original covers, and I was like, oh yeah, I read that. I read that. I love T.A. Bear and his Merlin series. That was like I was obsessed with that one. I read Knight's Word, which was like an older one. I don't even think the author. I don't think she wrote more than two or three books, but it was like one of the best. And that got me into fantasy, really. And then the next year, I like more into fantasy. And then I read The Hobbit and like a bunch of oh, I don't know, like a bunch of different things. What's the ones with all the animals? Brian, what's his name?
Oh, Brian Jacquez.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
Incredible. I
those.
have
Thank you.
all of those upstairs. I need to introduce my kids to those books, or
Oh
introduce
yeah.
my kids, one of the two, both.
I got them all for like 35 cents at the same book sale, actually. It's like twice.
Dang.
I got them all at the end, and I was like, how has nobody bought these? I just brought them home. I was like, I've given them to students at times. I have some that I like Redwall and, you know, that I just like Lord Brocktree that I just like, just
Oh
want to
my
keep
God.
the Lost Patrol, like stuff like that. But I can't
Love.
wait for my son to get old enough so I can like read them to him and like go back over it. But yeah, fantasy and sci-fi, I think, are just more fun. Not that I don't like classics, and I love thrillers, I like mysteries and stuff, but the fantastical elements I feel like are always just more fun. So.
I love it so much. I still remember when I discovered urban fantasy. Like I picked up Harry Dresden, Jim Butcher, the Kate Daniels series by Ilona Andrews, and then Mercedes Thomas Thompson series by Patricia Briggs. And
My
that was like my
favorite.
gateway drug to urban fantasy.
Oh.
I love that genre so much.
I read like the first, I think the only, I think the first 10 were there, and It was like I read Kevin Hearn. My buddy was like, "You gotta read Kevin Hearn's Andrew Chronicles." And then I
I
think
have
it
them
was,
on the shelf.
I think like 6 years went by, and then I finally just picked up Iron Drew Chronicles, or like book one or whatever. And I was like, "Bo," and then I was like, "What was cool is I was living in Phoenix at the time. Met my wife, and like we were going to all the places. Like I went and actually had like the fish and chips at Rula Bula." In Tempe, and oh my God, was it amazing! I could see why he wrote it, and but it was like we went to places in Flagstaff that like they went to. I mean, it was like it was super super cool. I was like, yeah, I've been here and here and here. So I was like reading the books while living there. It was just like absolutely incredible. But then when I got here, I was like got into Dresden Files. But then my friend one day, I was like, he goes, you need to read this series, and I'm like, what is it? And I'm like, oh yeah, I passed by. Patricia Briggs all the time. So I was like, I'll just try Moon Call. Oh my God.
That's
I remember sitting on my couch, like I had to have read the first 9 or 10, like within literally like maybe 2 weeks. And now I have to wait like, and then I got into the Alpha and Omega series, like Wild
Yes.
Sign had to be one of the best books. My friend actually got me, oh, I just put it away. He actually got me an original alternate cover of Wild Sign, like just the painting. Yeah, the two of them with her and Charles in wolf form, and it's like a different color. It's like there's some reds and purples in it. It is absolutely incredible. So I'm actually getting it custom framed, and it's going to go in my office when I get my wall fixed. But yeah, it was super cool.
So
My friend's like,
what I'm hearing, folks, is that when we are done talking here and we stop recording, this man is going to show me that cover because that sounds
oh
amazing.
yeah. I actually have it right here. I'll pull it out for you. I'll send a picture or something. It is absolutely incredible. Yeah, he got it for me for my birthday. And he was like, I think you. He was like, I didn't get here in time. I was like, it was worth the wait. It was absolutely incredible. But yeah, that's what I was after. I was like, I love urban fantasy, so I've been getting into a lot of different ones. So that's like having my thing now. Like we'll buy a bunch of them and kind of create our own urban fantasy library back and forth. So I think this is the, yeah, I got like Sean and McGuire, who I actually interviewed my first season. Like Sean was incredible. I haven't read him yet, so I'm like really, really excited. I read Sean's like comic stuff, and a few other things, but hadn't done urban fantasy yet. But I love Dawn Del Rey, so I've been grabbing a bunch of them. So yeah, I got Rosemary and Rue sitting here for the summertime, like ready to
It's
go.
good.
So
It's so good.
yeah. Oh, well, now we get to talk about your books, though. So
Because we
what
can
is?
talk about other books all day long because we are bookies.
It's fair. But I was wondering what your book Companions in Chains is about, In Chains is about, and how did you come to write in the Four Horsemen universe? So cool.
The Four Horsemen universe, if you've not heard of it, is basically mercenaries, kill aliens, get paid, right? Like it is a galactic stage where certain races are more inclined towards violence than others. So they are mercenary races and they can be hired for contracts to attack, defend, what have you, protect. It's just this massive sandbox world created by Mark Wandry and Chris Kennedy. And it is like the flagship series of CKP. And I wrote in the Salvage title universe first for a couple books. And then Marisa Wolf was like, hey, girl, hey, I would love if you would write me a companion novel. So the companion novels center on the Depic, which is the mysterious cat assassin race that Marisa and Casey Azell created. Oh, I had so much fun with this book. Fun story, there was an anthology that came out before I wrote this, and it was the Phoenix Initiative anthology. And Chris had messaged a bunch of us that are in the CKP stable. He's like, hey guys, I'm short a few stories. Can anybody, jam one out real quick? And I'm like, I spent 2 hours on the phone that day with Nick Stevenson and Casey Moores, like, because they were working out their stories. And I'm like, ooh, I have an idea. So I messaged Chris real quick. And I'm like, hey, boss. So I have an idea about a dropship pilot on our first mission, a vibrating rubber duck, and a bottle of Jeremiah weed. How you feel about this? He's like, bang it out. I'm like, yes. So that was the creation of Ducky, my dropship pilot character, who
Okay.
became the main character of Companions in Chains. And if you know anything about fighter pilot culture, you have call signs. And if you happen to be on your naming night, and you get a little drunk, as one does, and you try to say, "I'm an awkward drunk," but you accidentally say, "I'm an awkward duck," you just got your call sign. And
That's
if your
awesome.
best friend happens to have a sense of humor, she might throw a vibrating rubber duck at your face. So there are vibrating rubber ducks throughout the entire novel because it became a running joke and it was so much fun to play with that. Now people at cons will come up and just give me rubber ducks and I will
That's
put them on my
awesome.
table.
Okay, that picture now at one of your last cons what happened makes a lot more sense. So that's awesome.
It was so much fun to write. It is basically, well, what happens if your best friend goes missing on her contract? You think everybody's dead. And then three mysterious chipmunks come to you in the bar and say, "She's not dead. We have a message for you from our boss. She's alive." So Ducky was raised with the Depic and she's got a favor token to call in. So she calls in her favor, "Find my friend." Well, then that Depic disappeared. So now she's got to try and figure out what happened to her friend. Where is this grumpy cat assassin? And try to deal with some Science Guild mind shenanigans. Trying not to swear too much here.
PG-13, we're good here.
And try to save the day. And it was so much fun to write that story. It was there's some romance because I am who I am, and the love interest 100% looks like Dean Winchester because, I mean,
Why not?
why not?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of friends let me use their characters because it is a shared universe, and that is
Awesome.
part of the fun, is getting to like do those little tie-ins. Casey Moore's let me use his super secret spy character and the chipmunks, who 100% go by Alf and Simon and Theodore.
That's awesome.
Their scenes were so much fun to write because a lot of this was dark, right? Like,
Yeah.
it's a best friend. The Science Guild is enslaving people. It's awful. It's terrible. And then here's the chipmunks running around like a bunch of idiots. It was amazing. But they think they're the heroes. It's so great. It's so great.
I would
It was
be really disappointed if they were not named that. So I would felt
right.
like that was like a missed opportunity, you know? So.
I had one review that said, "I guess I'm too old for this," because any book that mentions the chipmunks without Dave is just, and I'm like, I am not too old for this kind of shenanigan and silliness. So if, like me, you're not too old, check out Companions in Chains and laugh just a little, and maybe I won't tear your heart out in this one. I don't know.
No promises, right?
No promises.
Oh, that totally reminds me, by the way. Sorry for our guests. So we like Melissa said, I did interview I said Casey twice. I meant to say Casey and Marisa earlier this season. So what Melissa's referring to, we actually talked quite a bit about in terms of that universe in that interview. So please go and check that out as well.
Check out my girls.
Yeah, that's just awesome. I love that you guys get to like play with each other's characters and stuff, and that's like a real sandbox. That's what we
It's so
talked
great.
about previously. It's just awesome. So it's super cool. That's what I always loved about the Forgotten Realms, where like, anytime that it was rare, right? Because of like what was going on with the magic cards or and stuff. But like I liked when they were able to do that. The Eberron books did a much better job, but it was like they had separated it at the time with Wizards, so it's like those authors were able to do that a lot more. Like I wish Dritz had popped up in more things, with other authors and stuff, but that it just didn't happen. But yeah, but like Eberron though, like they did a much better job. Like different authors would be like, all right, let's go co-author, and they were almost like that. I talked to a couple of them privately. I can't wait to like interview a couple. But yeah, it was really, really interesting. So I always love something like that because like to me, it's like, I think that's why people love Marvel so much with the cinematic universe, because like you can do whatever, and they're all just playing in the same sandbox, and I think it just makes it more fun for them, and then in turn makes it more fun for us. So I love stuff like that. I think it's just Dragonlance was like another one, right? Where I wish sometimes they did a good job. I think they still should have let people kind of go a little bit more. So I love a true sandbox. I think that just sounds more fun. So that's awesome. I just keep thinking of Howard from Big Bang Theory, where they call him like Fruit Loops for his call sign because he eats Fruit
I mean,
Loops.
that is literally how it works with the military stuff. Like, you don't get to pick your call sign ever. Two, it's gonna be something that might sound cool but has a real embarrassing story attached to it. And a lot of them are actually acronyms.
Oh,
Like,
nice.
I no, that's not an appropriate story. Never mind. But regardless, some of them are acronyms, and some of them, like my husband's call sign, because he was a fighter pilot. He's like, I know it stands for something. I don't remember what it is because,
That's awesome.
alcohol.
Yeah. That's funny. I was gonna say, I know some of my friends, but I can't say any on
Like,
the
oh no, I can't say that one day.
which makes it fun to write, though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I get you there. Yeah. My friends, I definitely can't say on here. But yeah, I definitely. But that's why we always laugh because he'll we'll like you used to say that back and forth. Be like, okay, Fruit Loops, and like. That was just, to like references and stuff, and that one was more appropriate. So, but it was really fun. So, yeah, that's if anybody knows anybody, like tell them to tell them, how they got theirs. It'll be a good time, I guarantee it. And there usually is some sort of alcohol involved, to a great degree, right? So it makes it even more fun. So, always great stories there. So I actually had not. I don't know if I just like miss your Valerie's Initiative and Shadows May Fall. I must have those, so I would love to talk about that a little bit here. And like, what is Hit World? Because I don't know how I missed those. So I must just.
Okay, if you like urban fantasy, yes, you need to read these. So Hit World was created by Bill Webb with some with Larry Hoy, and it was an anything goes urban fantasy set to the backdrop of assassinations are legal.
Oh,
Like,
wow.
you can take out a contract on somebody. You got money, you do the paperwork, you can legally have somebody assassinated, which was like, ooh, this is gonna be fun to play with. So the Valkyries Initiative is a spin-off of Hit World. Hit World is more, it's got a little bit like noir type feel, vaguely. The Valkyrie side is more like Alona Andrews, Patricia Briggs,
Oh, cool.
strong female characters without strong female characters, right? Like actual whole people, badass women trying to save the world, possibly ending it. Who knows? Read to find out. But Marisa Wolf is the one that is in charge of the Valkyries Initiative. And Valkyries Chosen was her first book in that one. We also had an anthology, The Valkyries Initiative, 15 stories, 15 characters that, hopefully won't end the world or, hopefully save it. I got to do a short story in that one. And Marisa was like, hey, are you getting this theme here? Like Marisa says, hey, or Casey says, hey, and I'm like, yes. I have no follow-up questions. The answer is yes. So I wrote Shadows May Fall, which was Athena's story. And
Cool.
Bryn, I'm so glad you mentioned the Avengers, because Bryn is the Nick Fury of the Valkyries universe.
Oh, cool.
She is the one that is in charge of the team. It is, there are some threats that are more than than LEI, than the premier assassin organization can handle. These are like interdimensional, demonic, magic type stuff. So you have special teams that are capable of handling it. Athena in particular is in danger, like not an overpowered character, but she has talents that are specifically designed, without giving away spoilers, specifically designed to fight an ancient evil that happens to reemerge at the same time as the Valkyries Initiative is taking hold. So Athena is dealing with some serious issues because her father was assassinated in that short story. And I can tell you this without spoilers because it's been out for a while. But well, in a world where assassinations are legal, are you going after the assassin that killed your father, or are you going after the person who took out the contract? So Bryn, being the world's okayest boss, decides that, you know who Athena needs to work with? She needs to work with the assassin that killed her father. So you have the enemies to lovers slow burn plot that I just adore. I love it so much. And they have to work together to try and stop that ancient evil, try and complete the mission that Bryn assigned them, and hopefully not kill each other along the way.
That's really cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I was just curious there because, like I said, like I had seen, like Hit World on things like that, but that one for
It's
you, I must have just
fun.
missed. So,
It came out in September. It came out like right after Dragon Con last year, so it's still
oh,
relatively
got it. Okay, that would be why. I was having a
urban fantasy. Sellers.
wild time. Okay, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I was like, how do I miss these things? I'm like, I got everybody on Facebook, Instagram, but this just goes to show you though, right? Like, no matter, I tell people, I saw a couple authors the other day, who I hadn't really seen before, and I was like, that's impressive, you know, like that's impressive, and particularly in the indie market, because like I'm everywhere. Like my wife's always laughing. She's like, you're like, you know, pulling up rocks, finding people, you know, like I get people emailing me, you know, and like I try and just follow everybody, you know, so I don't miss. But it just goes to show you, right? Like the algorithm just shows you pizza when you want pizza and burgers when
And
you vice versa, like
honestly,
crazy.
I forgot about this until just now, but like when you mentioned the algorithm, so like the power of friendship, like we all share each other's releases. And on that particular one, Facebook decided that my post and the
That's
right,
right. I remember.
they
I remember.
decided they were spam and took them all down. I'm like, all of my release day posts and all of the shares were just gone. And then so other people tried sharing, and Facebook was like, no, and it deleted their post. So it was a little rough. And then Facebook did that again with somebody else's release a few weeks later. It was a whole thing. No idea why it happened. Like, I'm not spamming. I am sharing my joy that my book is live.
You know, I actually met, speaking of Chris, I messaged Chris at one point because like he was sharing whatever, like just one particular, I forget which author it was through Bain, but like he was sharing his stuff. And for some reason, every time I shared Chris's post on, you know, him sharing like another author from the company or whatever, it would flag it every time. And like if Chris shared your post or Marisa's or Kate, anybody else's, right? It was fine, but it was just this author. And I was like, this is just getting ridiculous. So I private messaged him. I said, I just want you to know. I'm trying to share this author. I said, your other ones are fine, but this one, it just keeps doing it. So he was like, oh, thanks. I don't know if, you know, there was something that, you know, he was able to review or something or, you know, and but
Probably
every
not.
problem.
It's
But
just
I just
Facebook.
say that I shared my friend's new business, right? They moved locations, and this was from last year, like last April, and I just got my post removed for sharing his new business post today. And I'm like,
It might reach back years and go, you know what? We don't like this one. And I would just like our AI overlords to know that you're very pretty and I like you very much. And please share all of our posts. The end. Thank you.
it's crazy. But that was actually around the same time too, actually, that I think it was right before that, like I think it was Scott Palmer, like 2 months before that, something like that, like on Amazon, lost all, that's what they were implementing more of the AI. He lost all his pre-orders,
Oh no.
something there with the AI, and he couldn't get them in time. So I remember like there were three more on TikTok too. So I knew like, and there was like first time authors, right? Or whatever. So that was just like a whole stretch of just like crazy AI, like taking stuff down. And I was like, why are you just like attacking indie authors? It feels like, you know, or people just trying to like run their own business. It was kind of wild. But well, I have that book actually for you on my list. So when I get my Father's Day card, that one's on my list. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So bring the books. So in terms of like blood and armor stories, how did you come up to write like Forlorn Hope with Casey Boers? Because I feel like that's boring, so.
I love this story so much. So, LibertyCon, have you heard of it? Have you been to
Oh,
it?
I've heard of it. I've tried to go 3 times. I always have something, it's just something crazy happened like the 2 weeks before, and I ended up having to stay here. So
So,
something.
LibertyCon is my favorite of all conventions. It is.
Oh, okay.
Brandy has called it, and I agree. It's the family reunion you want to go to.
Oh, that's cool. That's such a great endorsement.
It is so wonderful. It's so great. Bill Fawcett has been around the industry for a long time. Again, we don't do time math. He's one of the directors at DragonCon. His wife is Jodi Lynn Nye. Like, he's been in all the places. Extensive experience in gaming and all the things, right? So he decided that two things. One, he was going to write a novel, and it was Never Again. That was the first one in Blood and Armor. And I read it because my friend Casey Moores was going to write books two and three with Bill. And there was one point I got to involving, of all things, kitchen appliances with this main character who had just lost his wife. And I was sitting at my desk, like just bawling. I'm like, God damn it, Bill. It's amazing. So that's that story. And then with LibertyCon, Bill Fawcett started up his 15-minute mentoring sessions with new authors. So I signed up for it. I'm like, heck yes, this sounds amazing. So I talked with him for a few minutes. I told him, like, you know, I've got At that time, I think I had 5 books out and like I had a plan. And he's like, Melissa, I'm not sure what I can do for you. You're doing all the right things already. You're doing great. I'm like, well, I figured like, talking to you at least was going to be a super fun thing regardless. So we just started talking about military stuff because I'm an Air Force veteran. He has family who served. He's a military historian. He's incredibly knowledgeable. And if anybody gets a chance to talk with him, I highly recommend. So we just started bullshitting, and his next appointment didn't show up. Like, had a scheduling conflict, what have you? So we just kept talking military stuff, and then he just stopped at the end. He's like, Casey is going to be writing the fourth book in the series, but it's going to be featuring Nisty Khan, a female protagonist, and we need a female author to help him write that. Would you be interested? And I'm like, pick my job off the floor first. Yes, I would love the opportunity to write in your series and with my oldest friend who got me in this industry in the first place. That would be amazing. So he's like, okay, well, let me check into some things. I'll get back with you. I went and I shrieked at Marisa after her reading signing session, and then we opened the door and there's Bill Fawcett and Chris Kennedy, and they both just looked at me and they went, yes. And I'm like,
That's awesome.
yes. So I got to write Forlorn Hope, which is, oh man, it is an incredible story. The Kurds, like, it's centers on what would happen if the Kurdish people got their own country, clearly surrounded by other countries that do not like them, but they have a very, very well-off benefactor who, oops, here's some, mechanized armor that's more or less realistic. Like, Bill did a lot of research, and most everything we either have or we're in the process of developing, the one limb fact is battery. Like, how do you have something that could actually power, mechanized armor like that? Like, it's if did you watch that I think it was on Amazon Prime, it was oh my God, the video game series Fallout.
I keep forgetting about that. I have to go back and watch that one. It's like on my list. I've just been reading so many books lately, which is fine on its own, but I
I
need
have
to
no
go.
time to watch TV either, but there was this one point where again, names, can't think of them, not caffeinated enough, but home dude is like jumping around in this powered armor, and I'm like, Casey, look, it's our armor. That, I mean, not like super close, but fun, right? So we got to write a book together and it was amazing. And there's definitely some hard topics that we cover, and there's some tragedy because it is a war story. Like, they are fighting for their freedom. But the one thing that we, and it's literally in the title, like Forlorn Hope, is like that last desperate attempt to not lose. But no matter how dark things got, and this is something I do with every book I write, there will always be hope that they're going to win, that the good guys can win. Because I, like you, I'm sure, I've watched so many cartoons with my kids, and you see those themes throughout, like the power of friendship, hope. You see, like, good triumphing over evil. And I am convinced that stuff is not just for kids. It's not just for Saturday morning cartoons. Like, it has a place in adult fiction, and I love writing it.
I agree. I'm a historian, so I do stuff on the side from teaching. But yeah, that's what people are like, oh, this really sucks. I go, it sucks now. I go, there are enduring issues just because we are who we are, I said, but it always ends up getting better. I said, it might not seem like it, I said, but there's always that, that I was like, unfortunately you always have that, that wildfire that comes through and then whatever's left, I said, but then when you really look at the wildfire, right, once it's done, all these new things spring up. I said, unfortunately, that's just it's cyclical, cyclical,
It's also
unfortunately.
human nature. And I really love that quote. I cannot remember who tweeted it or where it came from, but like, we all have this like mental image of hope being this ephemeral, delicate thing. It's not. Hope is like spitting out a tooth on the pavement and rising back up for another round, because like that's who we are as a people. And I love writing that theme into my books.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just want to point out for our audience that I had some people message me recently, right? And they're like, I'm having trouble selling books, or I'm having trouble finding agent, or having trouble doing this, like whatever it is they want to do. And I'm like, so, but what are you doing? I never mean to be rude to people. I'm like, well, what are you doing? And I wanted to know more. So I started a podcast. And everybody 4 years ago was asking for stuff. Like that's just what it really seemed like, right? And nobody was providing anything. So I had this great idea. I was like, well, I'm gonna provide a service and then I'll get to know people. I'll get to learn, right? I got to talk to so many people, like I got to talk to Dirk Ashton. MJ Kuhn, like you name it. Like I got talked I Sean McGuire is like my 18th episode, season one. Like I learned so much, made great friends, but I was like doing stuff. You know what I mean? And I tell people, I'm like, you're not doing things. And I don't just mean like random things, like I was doing this for a particular reason. And now I know people, right? Like I know people through Angry Robot. One of the people that, got me some guests season one and a couple last couple seasons, like they Xiao, she's like higher up now, which is cool. Like she used to find talent and now she's got, she's like a director now. So that's really cool, but I always tell people, I'm like, you just proved it too again here, Melissa, that like if you're going to places, meeting people, what I call doing things, and I tell people, I'm like, I just want my book because then I'm a salesperson. I've always been my whole life. I sell kids on their future now. It's the same thing though, right? So, but it's like I go and it's like I feel like it's the best way for me, right, is to talk to people or to do things. But I'm like, if you're not going to your local, even if it's like farmers market, right, and trying to talk, do things, or you're not going to CODs and meeting people or whatever, like nothing's gonna happen for you, right? There's no synergy, there's no energy, nothing's happening,
Or
right?
what it's fun like.
Your story, right? Just right there, it's just going in 15 minutes, like you said, right? That's a really cool story, and thing for you that popped out of it.
One of my favorites.
You went and did something. So when I tell people that and you hear me on the podcast, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm being serious. You have to go do something if you want something to happen. So that's just a really great example. You got to get off your butt, go to a con or go to a show or go to a seminar, whatever. Talk to R.R. Verdi, right? Like, Ronnie mentioned that as well. Like that's how he met, his agent, through that process. So I don't know. I just thought it was a really good example, but that's a really cool story. That's awesome. Sounds really cool too. I had seen that one though, so that one was on my list. But yeah, Valkyries, I definitely putting first. That just sounds like definitely up my alley. Just a urban fantasy guy now, so.
You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. Start with Marisa's Valkyries Chosen. Brynn is at it's Marisa at her snarkiest. It's amazing.
It's great. Well, I grabbed that one, and then I like I said, I but that makes sense though, because I do remember now that you were saying that it got taken down. So I kept thinking to myself like, why? What happened? But I actually feel better now. I just thought I was getting that old or had that much dad brain, I guess, Melissa. Like, so I actually feel a lot better about myself now.
Happy to help.
Yes, anytime, right? Anytime that Dan can feel better, I think it's okay. I am curious just for our audience because I did a lot of research on this. So what are your Salvage Bunny books about and where did this name come from?
Okay. So Salvage Bunny is my first series. Sunrise Over Shippo, my very first novel. Shadows Before Sunrise, the short story that spawned all of this was one of my first, it was my first short story that I'd been invited to an anthology.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I went to Fantasy. It was my first con because I had gotten a spot in the open call for Songs of Valor, which was a anthology that CKP had sponsored with Fantasy. And I got to meet Chris for the first time. He's like, hey, go out on the patio, go meet Kevin Steverson. He's got Salvage Title Universe, and he wants you to like go talk with him because we want you to write a story for his anthology. So I went out there, I met Kevin, I met Nick Steverson, who is now my best friend, and just spent some time talking with them. And I wrote them a short story, I wrote Kevin a short story, and Kevin was like, yeah, that was great. Do you want to give me a novel?
Oh wow.
And then he's like, ha, just kidding, I meant three.
Oh
Because
wow.
that's how Kevin does. That's how he hooks you. He's like, yeah, just a novel, just a novel. He's very much a salesman.
Smart.
He's like, no. We do trilogies here. So Salvage Bunny is currently has three books: Sunrise Over Shippo, Nightfall Under Kyros, and Fallout on Narsana. That's three books. That's a trilogy. No. See, I did a four-book trilogy. because I can't math very well, despite the fact that my day job is an accountant. Sometimes the character voices just have a lot to say, and when you are 120,000 words into book three, and there's still so much to do, and your publisher goes, "Hey, Melissa, are you sure it's not two books?" And you go, "Yeah, it's two books." So the fourth one, Daughter of Shippo, comes out on May 30th, and I am so excited. It is the first solo series I have completed. It is my first character, the first voice that is so strong in my head. Like Kaylee is amazing. I took her from being not a fighter. I am just a language geek. She was very much a mix of Dr. Daniel Jackson from Stargate and Evie from The Mummy because I love those characters so much. And then because I'm a Firefly nerd, I'm like, Kaylee, I have to name my character after Kaylee because she was my favorite.
That's awesome.
And I got to take her from being not a fighter to risking everything to save her home and her friends and all the things. And I love those characters so much. I cannot wait to see what people think about book four. And it was really hard writing the end on that one
Oh, I
because
bet, yeah.
it might not be the last time I write a Salvage Bunny story, but it's a milestone. It's the completion of Kaylee's arc. And Kaylee, by the way, the reason that her nickname is Bunny is because when she was not a fighter, when the mercenaries that she made friends with, because power of friendship, haha, also credit, lots and lots of credit, because mercenaries don't do anything for free, y'all.
That's
So
fair.
when they were trying to teach her how to fight and how to defend herself, and she did have lessons from when she was a kid, because she was raised by space foxes named Kitsune, because I am who I am. She would freeze. A lot of people think that there's two basic responses, fight or flight. It's not. It's fight, flight, or freeze. And Kaylee would freeze and squeak like a little bunny. So
That's
that's
awesome.
so they gave her the nickname Bunny. And then Casey Moores decided that if I had a character named Bunny in the Salvage series, therefore my nickname was the Salvage Bunny. So if you
Oh, that's
see
cool.
my Instagram handle is Salvage Bunny, like if you see like the Salvage Bunny blah, that's me because it was my first character. And also Casey has given me like half my nicknames throughout my life. I think my first was Tigger because I'm very bouncy.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool. I was just curious because I just thought that was awesome.
It's so fun.
That's really cool. I know we're winding out on time, but I gotta leave a nice chunk here for my favorite here. No offense to anybody, but two, I'm writing a Griffin book. So I love dragons. So what is your newest book, Rise and Ruin, about, and what can readers expect within this new world with both dragons and griffins? Go.
Okay, so this is my very first like series that I've done that's not shared universe. Nobody asked me to do this. I did this all by myself. And by myself, I mean the voices in my head said, "Hey, we're gonna write about this." And I said,
Oh,
"Okay,
it counts.
I'll fine." So 2 years ago, Bane has the Fantasy Adventure Award contest. They do this every year. They also have a sci-fi version, the Jim Bane Memorial Award. And these are blind judged contests, which means that you turn in a story without your name on it. I mean, they have a process to make sure that the judges don't know who's, with emails and everything. So it's completely blind.
Well,
And I went to bed like maybe 5 days before the contest was ending, feeling very smug. I am not entering this year. I'd entered the year before. And it's very stressful because you have to follow the rules. They're very, very blunt rules and very specific, but you have to follow them. I'm not going to stress. It's fine. There's only 5 days. I have another project I'm working on. I have no time. I have no ideas. Y'all, I woke up the next morning with a griffin in my head going, "Hi." So I'm like, okay, fine, fine. I will just write this down and I'll do this next year. 2 days later, I had an 8,000 word short story. I sent it to Marisa. She yelled at me in all caps and said, "Hi, yes, I would like more dragon core and griffin core and all this stuff. And yes, please, right now." So I sent it in and I came in second,
oh, wow. That's awesome.
which was still to this day one of the coolest things that has ever happened to me. And I took that short story and I expanded it into a novel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because when you do that well in the contest, a lot of times Tony Weisskopf, the wonderful editor in charge of Bane, she will go, "Are you gonna give me a manuscript? You've given me something, right? Like, Like my voice went up an octave. It was amazing. Marisa and Casey were there. They laughed. It was wonderful. So, Rise from Ruin is very much my going back to my foundational books of Dragon Rise of Pern and the Black Griffin, because the Griffins of Valdemar are some of my favorite characters. Those were the first real characters I had met that were non-human but people, and they
Oh,
stuck with me.
yeah.
So I went, well, two things. I have dragon riders because I wanted to be a dragon rider so much that I joined the Air Force, like Casey Azell. We both did. I'm like, fine, if I can't be a green dragon rider, I will go be a pilot. And I was a pilot for a hot second. I got halfway through pilot training in the Air Force, and then my ears went, not for you. So I got medically disqualified, which, while sucky, it led me to where I am today. So I can't regret it, right? It was an entirely
Yeah.
different path that I had not envisioned for myself. So I went, okay, what if I have a character who was this close to getting everything she ever wanted? She went through the academy. She was like final check ride. Everything's done. Her dragon is going to hatch within 2 weeks. She's got her dream. She's going to be a green dragon rider. She's going to get to do search and rescue. She's going to fly. And then her three best friends, who are morons, pull a prank on her at the exact wrong or right moment. And she ends up soul bonded to a griffin instead. And griffins, while perfectly capable of flying, are not capable of flying with their riders because they're about the size of a horse. And physics, my friends, physics are a real thing when you are riding in a universe that does not have a lot of magic. So Harper has to figure out how to, one, let go of that old dream, and two, how to become a griffin rider, because that is an entirely different skill set. And she is thrown into the deep end with people who are not particularly enthused with her, because when that prank was pulled, well, that griffin was supposed to belong to somebody else. And now that somebody else has to wait, and the people that were supposed to trade with him are not happy with her. So she's got to struggle through learning an entirely new skill set, shifting her mindset on, oh, you don't get to fly anymore. You don't get that. But at the same time, she is soul bonded to the most utterly ridiculous, insanely brave griffin to ever exist, ever. And she will take no follow-up questions on that. He is perfect. So she loves him with her entire soul, because that's how it works. When you entangle your soul with another creature, that's your other half. So she's dealing with all of this stuff. But at the same time, like that desire to fly, that doesn't just vanish. That disappointment, the resentment, the anger with her friends for being idiots, even if they didn't mean for it to happen. She's got to deal with all of that. And her country is at war. They're being invaded, and war does not care about your feelings, friends. So she's going to have to let go of the old dream, and she's going to have to strengthen her bond with her griffin, because the only way they're going to survive is together. And it was so much fun writing their story that now I am halfway through writing book two.
Oh, that's my next question. Yay.
Segue.
That's perfect.
Thank you.
Well, that sounds awesome. When I saw the cover, I was like, yep. And then when I saw the blurb, I was like, yep. Yeah, absolutely amazing. I love those hues. Like, just it hit me. And
Oh, you are a fan of Patricia Briggs.
oh
Don
yeah.
Dan Dos Santos is the cover artist for Patricia Briggs. Dan Dos Santos trained Pier Luigi Abbondanza, who is an Italian cover artist, and that man knocked this cover out of the freaking galaxy. I am in love, and if I am very, very fortunate, I will have him for books two and three.
Oh, that's super cool. That's
So
amazing.
fun.
That's good to know. That's super cool. I was because Dan's art, he's sitting right
Right?
here.
I figured you would appreciate that.
That's super cool. And people, it was like, they're like, you're such an art nerd. I'm like, you're talking to a guy that wanted to be an illustrator and then just realized like that just wasn't something I ended up wanting to do. End up switching gears. But doesn't mean I didn't love the don't still love the art. You can't take the art out of the artist. I absolutely love covers. They're just one of my favorite things about books. I think, going through Borders or back in the day or Walden's, and just
Oh my God,
seeing. I
right?
mean, we had the best covers. No offense to any other book, but we did, right? Fantasy and sci-fi, urban fantasy had the best covers, so I love covers like yours. To me, it goes back to old school, like Dragonlance, and just looks at those absolutely amazing. So I think
Every
that's for
time I
me.
look at my cover, I legit go and I squeak. It's like, I cannot. It's so pretty. And I 100% agree on the art and the covers. Marisa Wolf and I joke that, oh no, we're unsupervised at the art show at this con, and our husbands should live in fear because we cannot escape without buying. You can't see my pile of artwork over here, but once we get my office painted, all of my pretty art is going to get hung up, and it's going to be so
Oh
pretty.
yeah, I
This
think
was
I
my
took a pipe
kid's
out of my
playroom
wall.
until a week ago.
Yeah, they took a pipe out of my wall in my office, so in the basement. So I have to wait till they could come and, patch it up so I could put up the rest of my Comic-Con stuff that I bought. My wife's like, please don't get any more stuff until you can put the others up. I have like everything in my
Love
desk
it.
drawer. It's on the side. I'm like, I definitely feel you there. She knows too. She's like, it's really hard for you. I'm like, it really is. I'm like, I absolutely love it. And when I put it up, I mean, when I see stuff like that, it makes me want to write. So, the having that
Yes.
vision there. So, yeah, and I love how they did York Griffin in particular. So
Oh
that's
my
super, super.
God.
It
I
was
love
awesome.
it.
And it made me like think. My friend was like, well, we talked about my one of my books, and he's like, so I've been going back and forth, and I'm doing like a thing, and then doing like another thing for book two. But he's like, well, we keep going back and forth with like you said, like the physics. So I was like, I have to. And I was like, how do I fix it? I won't say it here, but I was like, how do I fix this? Right. So then I found a very interesting way to fix the whole world, the Griffin, and make it a really interesting story at the same time. So I can't wait for people once I finish to get into it. But yeah, the physics was really hard. So I did a
It's
lot of research.
no. I mean, don't ask me to pass a physics class. I got through that by like the skin of my teeth. It was a lot of fun playing with like the different dragons, because without spoilers, I have different dragon specializations, and I also have different griffin specializations. And also, I have really great friends who buy me griffin stuffies. But
That's awesome.
my mountain griffins are like this, right? They are the traditional griffin. They are like stocky fighters. They act as escorts for the dragons. They're my little fighter jets. They're awesome. Harpy doesn't have a mountain griffin. Harpy has a forest griffin, and those are runners. They're scouts. They're sneaky. And fortunately for Harper, she's very good at riding, because y'all, like I said earlier, I am a horse girl at heart. I might not get to ride much right now because children and life and day job, but being able to put that experience into a book was so much fun. I love horseback riding, and it translates really well to certain things. Like, it doesn't matter if you're talking horses or griffins or some other really cool fantasy mount. It is so much fun putting that in there. And if you need to do that and you have no horseback riding experience, find a horse girl. We are apparently more judgmental than gun people as far as getting the horses right. So find a friend.
Well, it's like one of Patricia Briggs' books, right, where they're Alpha Omega, right, where they're like doing the horses. Then I was like, man, I was like, this was really good. I was like, I don't know a lot of horses ago, but clearly
She
she
is a
does.
horsewoman. I met
I was like,
her at
no,
Dragon Con 2 years ago.
that's awesome.
And it was, again, the power of friendship. I had told, it was one of the Valkyries Initiative authors, Joelle Rises. Her story was amazing. It had a horse and it turned into a Mustang, like a car, like his magic. And, I loved her story. And I just told him, like, oh my God, I loved your story. You got the horses right. It was amazing. I loved it. And she's like, she told her friend, Patty, like, hey, Melissa really liked the story and everything, because horses, Joelle had talked with Patty about horses to make sure she got it right. So she was like, hey, you should go meet her. And I ran into her in the vendor hall. It's like, Patty is Patricia Briggs. So I got to talk horses with
That's amazing.
Patricia Briggs for like 15 minutes. It was amazing. And the book that you're talking about in the Alpha and Omega series, I was like, that was my favorite. She's like, yeah, I let my horse girl out a little bit on that one. I'm like, it was
Oh,
my
it's
favorite.
amazing.
It was
It
so
was so
good.
good. It was such a great example. I've said this before in here of taking your interests and then, putting it into, whatever books you're writing. So, but I mean, it was super cool. And, but I mean, it was just, yeah, it just felt so natural, and it felt natural that Charles was, trying to do that with Anna and trying to connect in that way, particularly his character. That's my friend and I both said, we're like, that's like one of my favorites. So other than Wild Sign, that was like my favorite Alpha and Omega so
Wild
far. It
Magic
was
too.
really jealous about that, by the way. So, my wife asked why I'm going to Dragon Con next year, and then now she can look back and Patricia was there. I know we're winding down on time, but I want to make sure, in case anybody was just coming in at the end here, do you have any news, updates, or current projects, anything like that you can share with us?
Okay, so folks, I will do a reel on this soon because I'm super excited, but I essentially have a double release weekend coming up at the end of the month. I have the fourth book in my Salvage Bunny series, Daughter of Shippo, which finishes up Kaylee's arc. So on May 30th, you can find out how Kaylee's story ends. And then on June 3rd, you can find out how Harper's begins. So whether you like sci-fi or fantasy, I got you. But really, why choose, right? Outside of I've got some security secrets that I cannot share, but I can hint at and go, I've got secrets. I've got a few projects that are in the works, but no contracts signed yet. So I will be able to update soon. And like I said, I love Harper so much, and Felix, her griffin, is my favorite. I'm already halfway through. I'm like 92,000 words into book two.
Oh, wow.
And these are kind of. It doesn't look that bad. This is 160,000 words. So I like big books, okay? Cannot lie.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be great. I'll be at LibertyCon and I will be at DragonCon. So LibertyCon Chattanooga towards the end of June, and then DragonCon in Atlanta over Labor Day weekend.
My friend wasn't getting married on Labor Day weekend. I would be there this year. So she goes, "Oh, you can." I go, "No, it's fine." I go, "Just remember this when I want you to watch my kid 2 Labor Days from now, so we can go back down then." She's like, "Deal." Okay, cool. I just wanted to remind our audience, speaking of Melissa's book and social links, they will be down below anywhere where you're watching this interview or listening. So please check those out. I love when people say the secret stuff because then I'm like, ooh, because I love surprises, first of all. But don't forget, you can sign up, for Melissa's socials, all those kind of things. That way you can get that information when she is able to share it. But thank you so much, Melissa. This has been great. Like I said, I can't wait to have all three of you on, and we're just gonna have a good old time. I don't know what we're
Chaos.
talking about. I know it's gonna be fun. So definitely be on the lookout for that. I'm hoping my schedule is finalized. I just got a new thing yesterday attached to me, so I'm hoping I get my finalized schedule actually by next week. So I'm hoping to send a few things out by the first week in June. So hopefully we can find something, the four of us this summer. But I'm really, really looking forward to that. But other than that, if there's anything I can do, for either of the book releases or anything, you send me whatever, and via social media, email, whatever, message it to me, and we will get it on all of our socials. There's
That's
my podcast
great.
group. Post in there as much as you need to, whenever you need to, for releases and stuff. I love sharing that stuff because it's in one spot and I just get all the notifications so I don't miss any for you guys. But other than that, if there's anything I can do at all, please, please just let me know. I'm looking forward to this book in particular, but I got a couple of other ones that are just waiting for my Father's Day gift card. And so I'm really, really looking forward to that. But have a good rest of the day. Like I said, if there's anything else I can do in the future, just message me and we'll get it done for you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. This has been so much fun. I will
Yeah, for
come
sure.
back anytime.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to hold you to that because I know you guys have other stuff coming up. So we'll schedule something for season 5, which will be coming out soon this fall for everybody. So I look forward to doing something over the summer when you can talk about those secret projects or maybe book 2, and we'll go from there. But other than that, I will talk to you later on social media, my friend. Hope you have a good rest of the day.
You too. Bye.
See you later. Bye.